You're listening to The Brand Compass, conversations to navigate your way to building a brand fit for purpose and poised for success. Here's your host, Shelley Rosland.
Hello there, my friend, and we are back. Thank you for tapping on this episode and picking us today. This is the place where we get into all the ways in which your personal brand meets the humans you serve. And if you're a regular to the show, you know that I'm Shelley, your host, on this conversational journey. And today we're going to do one last edition in what has unintentionally become a little mini series on different elements to podcasting, and mainly with a lens on helping you as a subject matter expert to make the best of it. So in episode 49 with Mark Franklin, we covered what makes a good podcast show host. In episode 50, I did a little solo talking about what I thought the top four overarching purpose types are for a podcast. And in the last episode, 51, Imogen and I dug into what a good podcast guest looks like. So in that last episode, I think Imogen and I realized that actually we have quite a bit of learning between the two of us. And we thought, you know what, let's do another episode where we actually share what we've learned so far about hosting, producing, and managing this show, as well as the shows for our clients. The reason this might actually be useful for you is if you're thinking about starting a podcast show yourself, or you're just wanting to understand a bit more about what goes into the background behind podcast shows, this conversation is probably going to help you out. Podcasting is really a route for you to bring out your personal brand, as well as that tailored approach to what you do and bringing that out into the world. So without further ado, let me bring back the human rainbow that is Imogen Jones. Welcome, Imogen.
Hello. It's good to be back again so soon.
So do you want to let our listeners know how we're going to approach this episode?
Sure. We want to keep this quite an easy listening for you and to get some value out of what we've got and what we've learned along the way from doing the doing behind the scenes. So hopefully this will give you some insight on what we're doing, and we're going to break it down a topic each and maybe dig in a little bit deeper if we've got something to add to each thing. Did you want to start off with us, Shelley?
Yeah, sure. So I think I'm going to probably mix my learning share between what I've learned for this show, obviously for our clients, but also what I've potentially seen from other shows. So it'll be a bit of a mix. So I suppose my first point is, it feels obvious, but staying on topic. I think it's really important to stay congruent to what the main concept is of your show and really remember who your audience is and what they actually need from you. Because I think it's quite easy to get sidetracked, especially when you've run out of ideas, but you've got to keep coming back to, why is your show here? What's the concept of a show? Because you can really... hopefully when you do that, you'll avoid being swept up by just trying to get your mates to come on the show when you've run out of guest ideas. Don't you agree? Like in those early days when you're starting and you're growing your show, it is tough, but you've got to keep staying on topic, don't you?
I can say, and that probably segues quite nicely into my topic as well, what my point is. But yeah, having a clear understanding of what you're trying to achieve and keeping on point is so important. Yeah. And yeah, but I understand that when you're trying to, we do it as well when we're bouncing ideas off each other, going, okay, so who are we going to talk to next? You know, who have you seen out there? Which topics are really interesting? But yeah, keeping on point is really important. And like I said, that segues into my first point as well, is the preparation is key. Ooh. And I know I talked about this in the last episode quite a lot, so I hope I don't get boring harping on about the same subject. So you've covered that topic of the preparation for like the launch and the making sure that you're keeping on topic. And for me, this is going down into like the preparation of the episodes. So, and this comes from a few different angles. So the from the host point of view, preparing what you're going to be talking about, trying to have a bit of a flow for that conversation, and then briefing the guest beforehand so that they understand, or that at least they have an awareness of the kind of things that are going to come up. And also preparing with the technology. They might be a seasoned podcaster, but they might not use the same software that you're using or the different tech that you've got going on. So I think the preparation from the host side is very important to have a good show. Then going on to the guest, same with them. Prep. Getting their biography nailed down, so to position themselves as the right expert for that podcast. So why they're a guest on that show. getting there on time, having all of the equipment set up, having the headphones in and everything like that, and having read through the prep that the host has shared with them so that they know what's going to be coming up and they've got some prompts to help them add to that conversation. Mm. And then okay, at the end of that, it's then at the point of recording. And that really does sit with the host to lead on that, to lead that conversational dance and making sure that the topic comes to life from the preparation that they put forward and getting the best out of their guests.
Mm,
so I think that would be.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, because I think sometimes, and I suppose we probably touched this in the other episode with Mark, where we talk about what's a good podcast show host is, you know, it's not just about getting that guest on and then just letting them yak away. you do have to get to the point again and make sure you're facilitating that conversation. I don't see many shows doing very well without planning and preparation. So, yeah, so I suppose that leads into my next lesson. Sorry, did you want to say something there?
No, I was going to say is, yeah, keeping, I guess that goes back to your first point, is that having that clear outcome of what you want and making sure the prep answers those questions.
Leads back to that. Yeah. So I think my next lesson feeds probably nice onto that, is like we have a point and shoot mentality when we work with clients, right? So this is especially important for independent podcast shows. So because you won't have this full team of multiple producers and executive producers and then editors and then directors.
That would be lovely.
That would be fantastic. And then I could just focus on the show. But you actually just have yourself and possibly a podcast partner like us, where, you know, we're kind of fulfilling that managing and producing and support all in one human being, right? So all of this preparation bits that we've been talking about really impacts everything that follows from there onwards. And that's the edit time for the video, if you're actually doing video, the edit time for the audio, even down to the time it takes to draft the show notes, the transcription, the content creation, creating clips, creating social media content. You know, you can't have a situation where you're sitting recording for 90 minutes and then you want an editor to go and magically find these amazing 30 minutes out of all of that time, because as an agency, we definitely don't work that way. So if you are like that, you need to go elsewhere in terms of coming to us for help, because we just train our clients to prep, 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 plan, 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 and control their 30 minutes. This is particularly for guest interviews right from the beginning, so that it impacts your time and your cost ultimately at the end of the day.
Yeah, so yeah, keeping everything on track. So I think that all of those points are feeding quite nicely into each other there. It will make a much more efficient process to follow, and having that everything will turn over, because everything's time consuming ultimately, and you want to keep everything as clean and on target as possible. Mm. Around that, I guess, with that point and shoot, I guess mine follows quite nicely again on into that. These are all going, feeding into each other, is that audio visual presence. So I know it can probably sound a little bit mean, but ultimately how somebody comes across on camera and over the mic is really important, because it will show how engaging they are. So things like about their body language, how they're sitting, because it will affect how animated they are. You know, if they're slouched in the chair, they might not, you know, come across
as well. I'm sitting up straight now. Like pulling up my...
I always try to. I think I concentrate more. I like to lean in a little as well, because I feel like I'm then part of the discussion, like just sat around a table. I'm having that eye contact with the camera, which can feel a little bit tricky when the actual person you're speaking to, especially on these calls or on these platforms.
Remote recording.
Because the person on the screen is further down. So it's hard to try and keep your eye coming back, but it is more engaging when, especially if there's, obviously this is not relevant if there isn't a video going on and it's just an audio podcast. And then also about, you know, the positioning they are from the mic and things like that. So are they clear? Are they audible? Or do they sound too far away? So it's, you know, the listener feels like they need to listen in, and like lean in to hear them better. And then movement as well. It can, if, again, this is for the videos, if you're moving a lot, it can be quite distracting to watch if you're watching, but it's also then quite tricky if they do have to do any cuts in the edit. If people are pacing or moving around a lot, it can be a bit disjointed when it comes to the editing.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, it's you don't realize how important those things are. I mean, it doesn't matter if somebody does use hand gestures and things, because I think that's important, isn't it, in terms of expressing themselves.
Like I say, from a Mediterranean background, I'm quite expressive and quite handsy, so I sometimes have to try and dial it down, dampen it down a little.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, you do. I mean, you can do a bit of it, can't you? It's just that as long as you're not like crazy jazzy hands, I'm busy. Anybody watching the video now, I'm doing crazy jazzy hands. It gets really difficult, like you say, when you get down to video editing as well. You don't want to like scrounge up your personality.
No.
You still want your personality. It's funny, isn't it? Because you actually have to dial up your energy in order to come across as normal, but you almost have to dial down your gestures and your body
up
language.
Yeah, it's an art.
It's an art, a little tweak. You learn as you go, don't you? Yeah, I mean, I had a few instances where I had a client who had their guest used to swivel on their chair, like round and round and side to side. And we're like, oh my God. And it's not just the movement then, it's the sound of the chair.
I guess they were nice and relaxed though, which is good. But
lovely. However, there was a now and again. I was like, oh no. And there's only so much you can edit out without, you know, starting to destroy the audio. So it's just something to think about, isn't it? I think my last one that will probably be related to that is about voice. And I know you and I are quite obsessed with voice as it is. So voice really matters. So for a host and a guest, like, what is their voice like? So how do they actually use their voice? And I know I did do an episode on this on vocal archetypes and talked a bit about Bin Zhang's work around this, but you may get people that, for example, in person come across really quite intelligent or they're really interesting people. But actually, when you listen to them in audio, like third party, like you're not in front of them anymore, and you're just listening to their voice, you might find that they're not actually using their voice very well. So they might come across really dry and boring. So it's something to watch out for when you thinking about guests. So you almost got to listen to them and close your eyes when you're in front of them, if you're thinking about actually inviting them on. To a degree, this can be mitigated. If you've got a host that actually has a lot of energy, you might be able to balance it out. But actually, if the guest hasn't, you know, even if they talk for a minute or two, that's quite long in time terms. It could, yeah, I think you've just got to, as a host, you can always train and practice, can't you? Because you've got to keep recording all the time and you can play with your voice. But as a guest, you also got to practice, but you don't have as much practice as what a host is. So I think if you're a guest, you've probably got to think about it a little bit more, don't you think?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a learning curve, isn't it? I guess ultimately, if you've not done it before, it's not until you listen back that you think, oh, actually that came across quite monotonous or quite, you know, monosyllabic.
Even toned.
And you might think that that's, I mean, it might be exactly how you talk. And in a conversation face to face where you've got the, like you said, the hand gestures and the mannerism, things like that, then it all plays a part. But when it is just audio, you do need to have a different thought on that. But again, it's a learning thing. And I guess until you've been a guest and listened back, but as a host, it's something that you want to, if you are inviting somebody on who hasn't done it before, then it can be a little tricky to manage that, which then segues lovely into my last point about guest selection. You know, whilst you might be inviting people who haven't spoken or been on a podcast before or invited before or been a speaker on anything on stage, for instance, it is great for a host to actually have an idea that they can do it, so that they have been either in video footage or they've been on other podcasts and other places that they can, you know, see how they interact with the microphone and the camera. And also, you know, that might even be from seeing what equipment they have. So if you see that they've got a nice mic or a nice camera, then it gives you an idea that they are prepared and it's something they want to be doing as well, so that they'll be putting a bit more attention into that. Another thing about guest selection is finding people that are happy to prepare. So people who are invested in your topic, who are happy to take the guidance from your preparation work and actually spend some time looking into it. I know from conversations with a couple of clients that they've been very worried and very anxious when someone's kind of going, don't worry about it, I'll just do it on the day. I'll just answer as you go. And it's sort of like, okay, but
no.
Like, can you just read through the questions just to get an idea? because it does give the host a lot of anxiety to think that they're coming in with no preparation at all.
You're trying to manage that 30 minutes again, aren't you? So if this person goes, oh, I've got about 50 stories to go with that one point, you go, no, just the one.
or worse, that they haven't read through it and actually one of the questions is completely off their remit and they have nothing to say on it. So they go, don't do that.
That's for me.
And you go, right, well, that was meant to be a five, 6 minute conversation. I've got a bomb word answer. And then I think on that guest selection, again, my third point on there, so a little sub point is inviting people on that will appreciate being there, who it actually works for them as well as for you. So they'll be happy to promote it and share that with their audiences. As a host, that's great because it gives you more people that are listening. But I mean, just having that mutual respect that you're going to be mutually beneficial.
Because it's a lot of work, isn't it? Like preparing for podcasts and then to have a guest on who just couldn't be bothered. I think, I mean, I haven't had that issue, but I just think it's poor form on the guest perspective. But from a host perspective, you think, you know, you work hard to pull these people together, to keep the ears listening. Definitely try and get those people that, you know, are pleased to be asked. And I definitely second that whole like video and microphone situation. It really, really helps to know that people are comfortable already.
That can come into the preparation as well, because if somebody is anxious and hasn't done it before, you know, as a host, let's have a quick 5 minute trial run. We'll see what it looks like. We can then go, actually, it would be better if, or, you know, can you position the microphone closer? Could you do this? You know, so there is a bit of to-ing and fro-ing there, isn't it, to getting the right guest on.
I haven't thought of that actually as a question. Maybe can you add that to our notes, Simondrin, for onboarding for our clients, is to just remember that possibility of being able to actually just ask someone and go, look, if you're not comfortable, let's do a little test run, you know, because that is just going to help you in the long run anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, because I mean, so many people have that. They're fine when it comes to Zooms and things like that because they know the conversation's flowing, but you hit that record button and it's a rabbit in headlights. So to have that, maybe that first one, it's always harder the first time, isn't it? The second time's always a bit easier and the third time a bit easier after that. But having an opportunity to go, I appreciate this is not your norm. Let me know if you want some help.
Definitely. So we've covered 6 lessons there. So let's do a quick summary. So we first, number one, we said stay on topic. All right. Don't veer off and just get any old, you know, Uncle Bob on because you've not got a guest lined up. Number two, Imogen's actually got pajamas printed with the words preparation on them. Prep, prep, prep. I think we need merch, like little badges that we could give you. Number three, point and shoot mentality. So really planning from the outset to stick to your time. You know, you can have a little bit of leeway, a couple of minutes here and there, but try and keep your time tight so that your editing is nice and clean and streamlined and also cost effective. Fourth thing we talked about was the audiovisual presence. So making sure people are, you know, good on camera, can use the microphone, they come across clearly. And then that led into our point number 5 being voice, making sure you're using your voice, that your voice matters. And our 6th point was all about guest selection as well. I think that's a good chunk there, Emma. Is there anything else you wanted to add to that?
Not at this point. I think that covers it quite nicely. I'm sure we'll probably have more editions of this going forward as the learnings happen.
I think the only thing I'd want to add is this bit about, I know we've had this discussion, is that I like to have original conversations with guests. So when I am choosing guests, I try not choose the ones that are doing the rounds. So you know those people that have just published a new book, they got this big course that they're doing a launch with, but they're trying to market it through every possible human being that they know. They're having exactly the same conversations every time they go onto a podcast show. So it's not that I wouldn't have them on, but I would want to find a more unique angle to the conversation. So I like to have it because I get bored, man. I'm like, you can literally see me.
There are, if I've followed a speaker that has, and I've listen to them on 2 different podcasts, I'm like, oh, actually, that was the same conversation, just with a different host. So I empathize with that. I think that was quite a good point, because people don't want to listen to the same thing over and over. And if people are a fan of that guest speaker, they might listen to all of the episodes, and it would get a bit tedious if it is the same conversation over.
And also because the world's gotten so small, right? So these guys are trying to like promote themselves. Okay, we are talking bigger guys now, aren't we, compared to independent people? But we do have it with independent people as well. But sometimes there's a crossover of audience as well. So while you're trying to pick different shows, sometimes there's a crossover of audience. And I think you as a guest trying to go on to something to promote something, you've got to realize that they're not all completely different audiences, unless you're going on a podcast show for osteopaths and then you go into a podcast show for horse people. You know, we know there's a few people that cross over those two. A lovely Claire Short. But those are completely different audiences. So potentially you could have the same conversation. So I think you've got to think smart as a guest as well.
That goes back to the previous episode as well, is about not having your agenda and letting the host
lead
that conversation with the eye on their own audience that they know. So hopefully it would always be slightly different, but I guess some of the podcasts I'll be joining would be a similar audience, if not the same demographic, but the same overarching topics.
I think we just don't want to, you know, it's hard to get listeners, right? It's hard to retain listeners. So what you don't want to do is bore them or start getting into that clicky trend of things as well, and go, oh, you couldn't be bothered to come up with a topic, so you got that person on who's doing the rounds, you know. So I think it's just, for me, it's always trying to find that unique conversation, or at least a nuance to the conversation that I hadn't been dug into, which obviously means I've got to do my homework and go and listen to what they've said elsewhere. I think that's a wrap, Emma. Can't think of anything else to add to that. Like you say, we'll be in the trenches continuously. I'm sure we'll come up with more stuff.
These little learnings are as they come up, and I'm sure between us, I'm sure by the end of the week we'll be like, oh, we could have. But I think these are the kind of things that we can share over time, and it just helps people prepare for their own show or to be a guest on somebody else's show.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks, man, Emma. And that's it for this episode, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. Did that help you to see that there are lots of nuances to running and hosting a podcast show? I mean, we've learned loads with this show and also in producing shows for our clients. And we're constantly learning. Every day there's always something else going on. And yes, there are a lot of things to do, but honestly, it's still one of my favorite things to do. I love the conversations I get to have with people. And I actually enjoy pulling those episodes together for you and recording them. Yes, I'm sick of seeing my face. I'm sick of seeing my voice, listening to my voice, but I still love the process. And if you're curious about podcasting and you want to have a conversation with me or Imogen or Mark, come and find me. My contact details are in the show notes. Or you can obviously find me on LinkedIn and Instagram. As you know, I'm the only Shelley Rosland out there. Also, potentially, if you are interested, on the 7th of October, we're actually running a free webinar where we can actually lay out the opportunity of podcasting for you. We tell you a bit more about it as a channel in which to demonstrate your expertise, why it's really good for you as a subject matter expert, and also show you a little bit behind the scenes of the tech and the stuff that we do this show as well. But the link will be in the show notes. You do have to register. It is on Zoom, but it's interactive. We don't just talk to you. We want you to be part of the discussion as well. So do bring your questions. So who do you know that could do with hearing this conversation and our insights? So share this episode. You know you want to. Until next time, my friend, stay strong, believe you have value, and make good brand decisions.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Compass. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to share it with your entrepreneurial friends and help them make good brand decisions. Until next time, let's keep the conversation going at shelleyrosland.com.